Ellie Patterson with an amazing song which captures the spirit of a land, Working Like Dogs. It's my pleasure to welcome you to Connect this morning. Reading a bit about you, it's just amazing, because yours is a truly remarkable journey. From being a bookkeeper and a mother, married to a carpenter, living in Melbourne, you seem to have changed direction by deciding to become sheep farmers. How did all this happen and why did it happen? I think that's really interesting.
I find myself asking that question myself quite often, Nigel. Always wanting to do something a bit different. And my husband's a bit of a pioneering type. So he was working as a carpenter, knowing that he wanted to do something different, a little bit bigger. And all of his ideas were a little bit agricultural. He was looking at forestry, market gardens, all manner of things. And we got some steers to put on a family property that we had in Melbourne. And something just clicked that we really enjoyed growing good food. We liked that it was during COVID time, so we weren't really able to work, but the sun was shining and the grass was growing and we were still growing food, albeit at a small scale. But we decided to look into that a little bit further. And then we got this amazing opportunity to lease a large sheep farm south of Ballarat, and we just went for it. And we've not looked back since.
I imagine there's been both good and bad experiences, and from what you're saying, probably mainly good rather than bad. What are some of the, say, pitfalls for novices? And, of course, you were novices, so you'd know all about that.
Yes, oh, we still are a little bit, but we have learnt a lot. It was tough, Nigel, because we didn't know what we were doing. I knew that a sheep went far, and that was about all. We were also on a fairly challenging property. It was very hilly, the fences weren't great, and the sheep yards weren't great either, so we also made the very foolish decision of buying very energetic sheep. So I was very happy when a sheep contractor told me that our sheep were actually insane. That made me feel a little bit better about some of the experiences that we'd had. But there was a lot of challenges. Lots of shouting, lots of rude words that I never even thought that I knew being spoken in the sheep yards. But after all of that, we've learnt a lot. I've learnt how to be a little bit tougher. I've learnt how to not sook. Have no expectations on my day because you can just drop everything and have to do something completely different. And our kids are having the time of their lives, and my husband's really in his element now, so it's all been worth it.
Okay, so where in these life-changing experiences, where does music fit in? Where did your interest begin? And more importantly, where do you find the time to do it?
I don't really find the time. I just sort of shove a few other things out of the way so that I can write songs and then I can return to my very messy house or piles of washing or whatever it is. I did a little bit of music in my younger years. I was a jazz singer in my early 20s, but it wasn't really an ambition for my life. I just enjoyed doing it when I was younger. When we moved out to the farm, the inspirations just started coming in. I started listening to the old bush ballads. They just came alive a little bit, and also the bush poetry. All of a sudden, after the experiences that we've had, now that we're out there doing it, it's all come to life a little bit. And then I started coming up with songs of my own.
I'm speaking to singer-songwriter Ellie Patterson, who's also on a farm, as you've probably worked out there. Ellie, your voice has a certain purity to it, which lends it nicely to folk and country, but particularly folk, I think. And earlier I played a very lovely version of Prairie Hotel Parachilna, which, of course, is a John Williamson song, but it sounds so very you. That's a very difficult thing to do, taking a very well-known singer's work and a loved artist, and then having the nerve in a way to go out and make that song yours, which I think you've done a tremendous job out of it. But how did it come about?
I've always loved the song. I think it's my favourite one of John Williamson's, and I don't quite know why, because he's written hundreds of songs that are all beautiful, but this one, it always stood out to me, and I always loved singing along to it in the car. I liked the energy of the song. And I liked even though it's about a particular place, I like that it captures that Australian spirit and grit where the surroundings are tough, but they can always get together and have a beer. It sort of speaks to that lovely Australian community spirit. And that really holds farmers together out here. So I like that. And we had a bit of extra studio time. And I can't take too much credit for this one because the producer, Matt Fell, he took most of the creative direction. He went away and thought about it and came back with this incredible big sound, and all I did was sing.
Well, that's what you have a producer for, and that's what they have singers for. As I said, your voice has got that purity to it, which sets that song on a brand new path to me, and I'm sure Matt's done his magic there as well. And, you know, I think you've done a tremendous job, so congratulations with that. Tell me the big question there. Has John Williamson heard it, and has he made a comment about it?
Yes, Matt Fell knows John, so he did send it over to him, and John sent me a lovely message saying that he loves the song and for me to keep it up. That was a happy day for me.
He wants you to record more songs so he gets some more royalties.
I don't think he needs it.
No, probably not. Going back a bit further, the song that seems to really define you and your life, in my opinion, a person who's never actually met you, of course, is the second song I played, which was Working Like Dogs. How much of you is in that song?
That song is everything. It is a simple song, but it does capture our experiences. And I wrote it very quickly. I wrote it sort of on a car drive on the way home from Melbourne. We were doing a boxed meat business at the time when the lamb prices were horrifically low. We had to be a little bit creative with selling our lambs for a slightly better price. It was just a really tough and really busy time. But there was a certain beauty in doing it and being able to come together at the end of the day, still husband and wife, even after everything that had transpired. And we could still share a meal together. And I think that there was something really beautiful and quite romantic in that. And so I wrote it down, and that was the song that really began it all, because I think James was very chuffed that I'd written this song about sheep, but also about love that captured us quite well. And he sort of said, gotta record it and put it out there because it's beautiful. It does capture our experience. And I'm glad you picked up on that.
I think it's an absolutely great song. I mean, Working Like Dogs, it just captured everything. And I was looking forward to interviewing you because of it. Living near Ballarat, you are very close to a very big part of Australian, Victorian history, particularly there, in terms of the gold rush, of course. So ahead of playing your new single, Dig, can you please set the scene for me? How did Dig come about? Because it's a very earthy song, and it's devoid of, to me, it's devoid of romance, the typical romance that comes with looking back into history from the comfort of an armchair. This one really tells me I'm out there, you know. What makes this song so remarkable is, that's what makes it remarkable to me, rather, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
I feel the same. I had the inspiration for the song at Sovereign Hill, actually. We were there, and they had a big battery. I think it was run by water or steam, one of the two. but it had these great big pillars that would bang down to crush the rock. And they have the demonstrations there, and the big pillars were making a very big rhythmic sound. And I was hearing that sound, and it was a hot day. It's quite harsh out there in the summer. The summers are hot and the winters are cold. And I was just imagining what it would have been like for a gold miner who had traveled across the world from Ireland or China or wherever they'd come from. And they had to dig down, and they had just come on a whim almost on this like whisper of there being gold, and they'd traveled across and they'd had a go at it without guarantee of success. That's quite an inspiration. And that's when I started hearing that the beginning of that song, which is dig down, deep down. And then it turned into a little bit of a deeper, so to speak, song as I kept writing it.
It's very dramatic. It does capture the imagination. And of course, the single word dig, it really does a lot for it too. You know, when you think about it, when you're looking at all those machinery you were looking at on that particular day, back then it would have been just a shovel and a pick and a dream. That would have been it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yep, a shovel and a pick, a sluice box and a pan. There were some bigger mining corporations and companies coming in, which is sort of what inspired the song as well, where it was becoming increasingly difficult for a gold miner to be independent and to, you know, face the increasing corruption and things like that that were coming in. And I just thought, I think we could take inspiration from their pluck and their spirit.
Yes, and obviously there's a lot of gold there because Ballarat's such a magnificent city, and I don't need to tell you that, but all those old Victorian-style buildings which came out of the wealth of gold created.
Yes, it's a beautiful city, yes. And then as I was writing the song, I started thinking a little bit more about what the true gold really is. And that's the punchline of the song, which is the gold is in the pockets of a man who has hard hands, which is that the real wealth and the real value is in the adventure and in the character the strength of character that you get from going out there and having a go at it.
Probably a bit like a sheep farmer just out of Ballarat, would you say?
Yes.
It really is, because whilst you're talking about a particular thing there with Dig and the gold and sort of looking back in time, you can relate back to what you're doing now, I think, in many ways.
Yes, there are parallels, certainly. And I've been enjoying telling people about my song and, yeah, drawing the parallel of going out on your adventure, come what may. And that is what we have done. And there has been real value in that. And that's where the goal is for me.
You seem to be quite an arty person, not only as a songwriter, but you also paint, I understand.
Yes, I do like to draw when I can. It's been a while.
The paint's well and truly dried in the tin, is it?
Yes, my pastels have been very forlorn in a cupboard, but I do hope to get them out very soon.
You draw in pastels, do you?
Yeah, I do. I don't do much in paint. I do mostly pastels and pencil, but when I can, I just get out my pen and ink and do little sketches.
Well, you've got such diverse talents. You can chase sheep around a paddock, you can paint, and you can write songs and sing them.
Yes, I'm okay at art and music. The sheep is definitely something that I've had to learn. I'm not naturally good with them at all. Some people have this amazing stock sense, and I don't have it, Nigel.
How do the neighbours take to you? I mean, these city folk coming up here pretending to be sheep farmers, and they must laugh at your mistakes and whatever. Is it a good feeling round there? They must have been amazed.
The neighbours, we really landed on our feet. We moved in probably the kindest district in the whole entire universe. The neighbours are all old farming families, and they took us under their wing, and they were so kind. They'll probably laugh at us behind our back, but never to our face.
As long as they're kind to you and help you, that's what you need.
Well, it's quite remarkable, because we had the audacity to bring shedding sheep into a merino district because we didn't know any better. It grows beautiful wool out there, and I'm very passionate about wool, but we didn't know anything about wool, so we thought we'd just go with the meat sheep that shed, you know. And that was such a, thinking about it now, that was audacious as anything. Even so, they were very kind, and the district ladies are second to none. I had a baby last year, and it was probably my most pleasant newborn experience. My washing machine was broken, but I had district ladies dropping off my washed and dried and folded laundry.
Wow.
I had meals being brought to me. I had two beautiful district ladies doing the school runs for me. It was just the most, I could cry just talking about it. It was just the most beautiful thing. So the neighbours out here are the best, and there are songs in the pipes about them.
I was just about to, that was going to be my next question.
The neighbours are actually one of the biggest inspirations for the music. The stories and their experiences and the things that they say, and even just watching how they live, and they're still working full time, and they're, you know, going on 80, and they're just remarkable people. So, yes, there are tributes coming for them, that's for sure.
So where can listeners find your music? I mean, it's on the digital platforms, I'm sure, but do you have hard copy available in CDs or vinyl?
Not at this stage. I am working towards an album, but it might take a while. But when I do release an album, I will be making hard copies.
Yeah, I mean, obviously digital is the way to go for a lot of people these days. And I assume they can pick up all three of your compositions there. Are there any more out there that they can pick up as well?
No, it's just the three at this stage, but it is out there on all digital platforms. And Facebook and Instagram is the way to stay in touch.
Okay. And your Facebook is just Ellie Patterson, is it?
Ellie Patterson Music.
Ellie, A-L-L-Y.
Yes, that's right.
There we are. And Patterson with only one T, two L's in Ellie.
Yes.
One T in Patterson, yes. That's your lot. Is that the way it is?
One T in Patterson, like the bush poet.
There you are. Well, are you a distant relative, perhaps?
I wish. Uncle Banjo, he has passed down his tricks to my husband, and I somehow caught it off him. No relation.
You could say we're still researching it.
Yeah, true. You've got to, I'll say that next time.
You've got to add to the mystique of the whole thing, you see. That's what you need to do. Anyway.
I just refer to him as Great Uncle Banjo, and everyone can assume.
Ellie, it's been fun talking to you today, and talking to a descendant of Uncle Banjo has been really, really very special. And I'm going to go out and play Dig, which to me is a is, well, as we said, it's a very earthy sound. You're going to love it, folks. So it's a great record. And not only that, go back and have a listen to her other stuff there as well. It's all on the all on the platforms there, Working Like Dogs, and you'll have hopefully have the experience like I had. And Prairie Hotel Parachina is a lovely song too, and Ellie's version, I think, is great. Ellie, all the very best with Dig, and I hope it goes very well for you. And thank you very much for your time today. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Nigel.
Thanks, Ellie. Bye for now.